Over to you.
Okay.
Okay. What normally happens? Who said prayers normally, Nico? Is someone doing a prayer?
You.
Hello?
You do to start.
Okay. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
I need to unmute myself. Okay. I hope everyone actually had a reasonable day, reasonable weeks so far. Mm-hmm. So far, so good. Mm-hmm. And I hope this evening's meeting will be one where we can draw some strength from and hope. So I'm going to pray now. You bow your head at me. Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most precious name. We come to you, there, Father, even now to seek you to present a word. We just ask for that you will be with us and that you bless every head that is bowed here, every family. I pray that you will be with us in a special way, that you will continue to be amongst us as we live. May we continue to help each other. May we continue to lift each other up. We also ask that you'll help us to continue in your word, that blessings will be gained. So bless us even now. Remember those who cannot make it, be with them also. Remember those who are in difficult situation in terms of their jobs. Also remember those, therefore, who are suffering for loss of their loved ones. We pray, Lord, that you will be with them and that you will strengthen them. So help us all, therefore, to make our calling and election sure, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This evening's message is don't look back. I'm going to ask you guys to do some reading for me. So if you look at the scripture reading, which would be in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Have we found it? We all good? Okay. So I'm going to read the first verse, and maybe you could help me read the others. Would that be possible? Or shall I read? Okay, I'll read it. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them about the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Verse 7, "Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." I'm just going to ask someone, can someone actually explain to me what does it mean in verse 6 and verse 7? Can someone help me there? What do they think that actually means? It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Can you break that down a bit more for me? Anyone?
We should not. You mean six and seven?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we should not believe that everything that we think is right is the right thing, right? Lean not on your own understanding, because you might understand this something to be correct in your behavior, in your thought, but it's not really the right thing, right? We must go by the word of God, not what you think is right.
Okay. And verse 8. It shall be healed to thy navel.
When you depend on the Lord,
Go on.
When you depend on the Lord and you don't lean on your understanding, you shall be rewarded.
Okay. Any more thoughts on that?
It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Okay. Bones. What do you think about bones?
Any
thoughts on bones in terms of if you look for our structure?
I think it's to keep you upright, or you know, uprightness. Yeah.
Okay, we need bones so that we could stand, or frame, or framework. And as you said, we must not lean on our own interpretation of things.
Yeah.
So this evening's mess. Sorry, you gonna say something?
No, I was just gonna say, without bones, nothing can really stand, is it? The framework, the structure, is the bone that keeps everything intact in the human being. And even fishes, you have the bones as well, fish bones. So you can't really have it without that structure, can you?
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay. Do not look back. I'm listening.
That is the text for my son Paul. That's his text.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
To him.
Wonderful.
Okay.
Excellent.
Amen.
Trust in not the Lord look back. I'm listening.
No, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, because I know him.
Praise the Lord.
I always remind him of that text.
Praise the Lord. Do not look back. Our God protects us daily. He provides for us full protection in every situation of our lives. He's always there. No other being can do that except God. He's always there for us, always protecting us. Even when you cannot see him, he's there for you. Even when we withdraw self from God, he's still there with us. He still cares for us. He protects us in many ways. But another way that he protects us is with the living word. The living word protects us, directs our paths, guides us into every situation. So the living word also protects us, because the Lord provided that for us. In the book of Genesis, the story is told about the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and the state in which it found itself in. The city was full of people that was very sinful. They had very sinful habits, as any other city. But this city was rotten to the core. It was absolutely rotten. It was a sorrowful state. So much so that the city could not be rescued. And God was going to destroy the city, as you know. And he sent two angels to rescue a family. But before that actually happened, maybe I should just go back and give you a little history before that actually took place. God has spoken to Abraham before, and he said that the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah has come up because of the state in which they're in. And he's going to destroy the city. Abraham then pleaded with God. He said, Lord, would you destroy the city with the wicked and the righteous? Would you do that, Lord? The Lord says, no. But the Lord says, and then Abraham said, Lord, if we find just 50 families, would you destroy the city? The Lord said, no. If you find 50, I would spare the city. Would not destroy it. Turn with me to Genesis 18:26. And when you have Genesis 18:26, I'm going to ask you to read it for me, please. And maybe I should ask you to get your Bibles ready, because I want us to read all these texts as we go along in this message. So Genesis 18:26. When you have it, someone please read it for me, please.
And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom righteous within the city, then I will spare all the places for their sakes.
Okay, what did he say?
How many?
50. He would spare the city.
Yeah, for their sakes.
For their sake. Mm-hmm. Okay. And 28? Someone read 28 for me, please.
Saying the same thing, really.
No, keep on reading. It says if you find 50, then it says something else. Lack of 5. So if there were 45 people in that city, he would not destroy it. Mm-hmm. Okay, read 29 for me, please.
And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure there shall 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake.
He will not destroy the city. Even 40 in a city, not a village, in a city, the Lord would spare the city. And verse 30.
And he said unto him, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there were 30 he found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there.
So even 30, the Lord will still not destroy the city. And I'll read 31 and 32. And he said,
Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake.
And 32.
And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy for 10's sake.
Now, is the Lord, what do you think of that? This is a city.
Unbelievable.
And not even 10 righteous people would be found in that city. And if there were 10 righteous families, the Lord would have spared the city. You see how the Lord protects us and gracious unto us. Yeah. But sadly, the cry came up that 10, not even 10, that could be found. So God had to go forward and destroy the city. But he said, but I've already said that I would not destroy the city with the righteous and the wicked, because Lot was in that city. So this is the next step the Lord did. He then took 2 angels and sent them to the city so that Lot and his family can escape. Mm. The two angels went down to Lot and lodged there. Now listen to this. But the men of the city, who were so, their mind were twisted, they surrounded the house where there was, where Lot was, both old and young. And if you look at Genesis 19:11, something happened there. Genesis 19:11. Have you got it?
Somebody is going to read it.
And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door.
So the Lord still protected Lot and his family by smiting these evil people with blindness. And in Genesis 19:17, I'll read that quickly. Genesis 19:17, and it came to pass when they brought them forth abroad, it is said, escape for thy life, not to look behind thee, escape to the mountain. So the angel says to Lot and his family, look, flee the city and go to the mountain. There you'll be safe. There you would be safe. But sadly, in Genesis 19:26, the family escaped, but the history says that Lot's wife looked back.
From behind him.
19:20 says, but his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. What do you think looking back mean there? What do you think? How did you see the looking back for the wife? What are your thoughts on the looking back?
I think obviously she was so caught up in her lifestyle. Looking back, he's probably looking and thinking, look what I'm leaving.
Okay.
He was told not to look back. So once you disobey, then the consequences come. But I think she was thinking about what she was leaving behind.
So it wasn't just a physical look back. Yes? She didn't just physically look back. She probably did. But as Sister Douglas says, she was dwelling in the past. The fine, expensive things you probably had that she was leaving behind. Maybe the lifestyle that she has, and she feared that the future looked bleak. She didn't know what the future had. Because all these things might have been thinking about this. But the problem was...
That remind me as well as with the Red Sea. When... the Israelite was going and they looked back to see that Pharaoh was near. Mm-hmm. And so they start panicking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like going forward. If you don't look back, you don't see what's behind you. You just focus on going forward.
Thank you. Yeah, so...
I think, well, Lot's wife didn't want to leave. Yeah. That's the reason why she's looking back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, if we have... Because why did it not look back?
Well, it's faith, I think. It's about his relationship with Christ, isn't it? Mm. I think.
But, I mean, sometimes the decisions that we make, you know, if I'm not thinking of what is better, what am I looking back for? I'm not going to miss, so I'm not going to look back. But then I think if we haven't made that decision 100% to go forward, not only will you look, but your mind is pondering... Well, look what I've left. And like you say, you don't know what the future is holding. But then, as you say, with Lot, because of his faith, he just accepted what, you know, he was told, and he didn't look back once. How I look at Lot's wife, she did not want to leave. That is the reason why she looked back.
So it also goes to show that being in a family, and although you're worshipping together, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to make it to the kingdom. Is it? Because Lot know who he believed, as you said, and his focus was on Jesus Christ. And whatever he said, he accepted. He accepted what God said. Whereas the husband and wife, the same home, But then she made a choice, and it's about choices, because we all have to
make choices. I was going to say, we all make a decision. It don't matter. Your son, your daughter, brother, father, it doesn't matter. Everybody has to make that decision for themselves.
Absolutely.
But if you also look, in those days, the family was saved by the head of the family. You know? If you look at when they've traveled from Egypt, and God said, listen, step out of the way, Moses, just let me deal with these people. He put himself there. God could have still dealt with him, but because he was the leading, God said, okay, I'm gonna hold my hand. With her, as you said, she may not have wanted to go, but she's following her husband because that's the order. That's how the pattern is set. Today would be a totally different day from then, because today would be a very different day, because women decide, I am doing this, whether her husband do it yes or no, it's not here nor there. So in that sense, so she moved out with him. Instead, not being allowed, not making the choice to say, oh, husband, I don't want to go. I really want to stay. And in her mind, she was already looking back before she even started the journey. Mm-hmm. When you reach a distance, you physically look back to say, all right, look at what I'm leaving. And that, because the order was, if you look back, this was what's going to happen. It happened.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the lesson here is, the lesson here to be learned is in terms of for Lot's wife, maybe she was leaving her silver and her gold and all these things and her wealth. But the sad lesson was that you can replace silver, you can replace gold, you can replace all these things. You cannot replace your life. So she lost her life because she was looking back.
Can I just say something though? If I may, she might not be worried about the gold and the silver and all of that. No. She might be just worried about the lifestyle, how she used to live there. And not just that, the kind of quality. She gold and silver might not be her concern. Her concern is, look at I'm leaving where there's music, where there's joy, where I know what's going to happen next, and I can take part and I can do my business. And then,
whatever it is,
not that.
Yeah. Whatever it is that's holding it, as you say, it may not be silver or gold, but whatever it is, whatever. It's whatever the situation, whatever. Because what might hold me or keep me out of the kingdom is not what's going to keep you. Yeah? So it doesn't really matter if it's silver and gold is a figure of speech, but it could be anything. Anything there that she finds more important than what God is saying.
Yeah.
And that applies to us, because I mean, we may look at that where she turned, but when we turn it on ourselves, what are we doing? What am I doing that's going to keep me to the kingdom of God? It's only me can answer that.
Mm-hmm.
And then by examining, and these come to remind us, examine ourselves to make sure that, you know, what is going to keep us in the kingdom of God? Because what will keep me out is going to keep you out, because we all have different weaknesses and strengths.
May I say something?
You may.
the passage of scripture which says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what we recognize with Lot's wife is that she was not committed to the cause.
Mm-hmm.
She had not made a decision to follow the Lord herself. And if we don't make that personal decision, then when we have to weigh things up, we're going to take the familiar path, the one that we know. And the one that we know is easier to accept because we know those pitfalls. We don't know what the future holds. And when we make decisions, usually we make decisions and we think about the pros and the cons and the positives and the negatives. So we have thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have your own personal relationship where Christ has brought you from point A to point B, where you have your own testimony, then when you're asked to go somewhere unfamiliar, because you haven't proven God, you are likely to resort to what is comfortable. And I think that is the position that she found herself in, which is a position that quite often we find ourselves in. It's just that we haven't become literal salt. But we have come upon these situations where we have made decisions and we haven't fully committed it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we find ourselves in this state of ambivalence and we make a real bad choice.
But Sanjay, that goes, goes right back to what we were saying. It's about the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
As you say, it's about individual relationship. So it doesn't matter whether you're in your home or you're on your own. It's about the personal relationship. And that was the thing with Job. Sorry, Job. With
Lot.
Okay. Lot. He had a personal relationship. So although he was the head of his house, and he had a personal relationship. And therefore, all of us have to have the personal relationship. So when the testing comes, we have to stand on our own. I think we're all saying the same thing, really.
Yeah.
In a different way. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for those response, those positive response. I'd just like to put a little example here. When someone is actually running away, when someone's actually running, and you look back, when you physically move your head to look back in a physical way, you have altered your strides. It has slowed you down. And so you've signaled to the opponent that I can't do it, and just he'll just pass you. So don't look back. Mm-hmm. He says, don't look back, keep running. Now, Lot's wife's problem was that I think she was fearful of the future. But as you just mentioned about Job was buffeted. Job was buffeted in every situation. He lost his wealth, he lost his family, everything, almost everything except his life. But Job kept looking forward in this situation. He was still looking forward. It doesn't say so, but I'm sure he was. And the Lord restored to him more than he ever had. So do not look back. Look forward. There are some people who look back in this way. If I should have, or I should have, or I could have, or I would have, but they've never done anything. You can't be dwelling there. You've got to do something positive. Do not look back. God says to look forward. Place your hand in his hand and he will strengthen you. Now, Satan is all behind this. Satan wants to trap you in the past. He wants you to look back in the past. He wants to say to you, remember the bad companies you used to keep? The bad habits you have? The bad decisions you made, the sinful habits you had, he wants to keep you there. Don't look back. He would even judge you. He'd be judgmental. He would even say you're absolutely useless of being a Christian. He wants to keep you there. But God says, don't look back. Look forward. Look forward for a better tomorrow. All your yesterdays are gone. Look forward in hope. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs says 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Our understanding and our interpretation would lead us somewhere else. May lead us looking back. We need to look forward. Stand with God and he would honor you. I don't know if how many of you actually heard of a gentleman called Eric Liddell. But Eric Liddell was a sprinter, a 100-meter specialist. He had his heart set on the 100 yards of the Olympic Games in 1924. Lots of people said that he would win the race because he could do 100 yards in 9.7 seconds. Not 100 meters. 100 meters slightly longer, but 100 yards in those days in 9.7 seconds. That's lightning fast. Many writers predicted that he would win it. But sad news came to Eric that day. For the race will be taking place on a Sunday. And he believed Sunday was the Sabbath. all the knowledge he have about these Christian beliefs, he said that Sunday, as far as you know, is a Sabbath. So Eric Liddell, the race was scheduled to run on the Sunday, and he withdrew himself. He withdrew himself. He was disappointed, he was heartbroken, but he withdrew himself. And those people who praised him in the past and said that he's going to win, when they heard that he's withdrew, they call him a fool, stupid. They ridiculed him. They even tried to convince him, look, the continental Sabbath, you can go to church in the morning and then you could actually go in the afternoon and run the race. And he refused. He said, my Sabbath is the whole day, is not half a day. And so Eric, he made his decision to honor God. He already gave God his full word that he would honor him, he would worship him, he would not be going back in his word. Then an opportunity came when someone dropped out the 400 meters race, 400 yards race. Now this was a race that he's never run before. It's four times the distance, it's four times the speed. It's sprinting from start to finish. And he said, I would do it. So he took the opportunity to enter the race. Eric Liddell started the race and finished the race. He became the victor. And he set a new world record in 47.6 seconds for the 400 meter race. And that race went on in history, was talked about for so many years. It was much talked about. Because Eric Liddell took a stand. He did not look back. But the biggest story of this gentleman's, it wasn't so much that apart from what happened, but his Christian belief stood out. So much so that they made a film of it, Chariots of Fire. You've heard of the film Chariots of Fire? This was Eric Liddell. He was a Christian, but he stood for God. He honored God, and God honored him. So don't look back. Don't become a pillar of salt. Look forward and become chariots of fire. Eric stood by God, and God stood by him. Now, where does that leave us as in today's situation? How do we stay forward? How do we keep going forward and not looking back? What I think, if we want to move forward and not to look back, here's some things that I think we need to do. We should bask ourselves in God's words and fill our mind with his scriptures. Soak our minds in God's words, just like you soak a sponge until it's dripping and dripping, so that you know the Lord is with you. Bathe your lives in the rivers of prayer and praise, and be replenished daily. Live the word. Speak the word, no matter the circumstances. Honor God and he will honor you. In Psalms 119, verse 11, it says something quite interesting there. Psalms 119, verse 11. If you found it, can you read it for me, please?
Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee.
So Eric Liddell, he hid God's word in his heart. He was not going to go left nor right. He was not going to go back to the old. He was going to go forward. So if we hid God's word in our hearts and our mind, It gives us stability. It gives us confidence. It gives us hope. Heed God's words in our hearts and our mind. Be illuminated and follow the lighted path. In Psalms 119, verse 105, we all know this one. What does it say? Thy word?
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if we have the word of God with us, in us, around us, it gives us light. We can make the right decisions. We don't have to go back. We can go forward. And Ephesians 5:23 says something special as well. Ephesians 5:23. Have I given? Have I got the wrong text? I think I've got the wrong text. I think I've got the wrong text. But it's speaking about renewing our spirit, with in mind with God's spirit, so that there's a connection with God. So we need to renew our spirit, we need to clothe ourselves, we need to hide God's words in our hearts and our minds, that we can look forward, we can go forward, not backwards. Lot's wife had many chances. She had many chances to save herself, but she looked back and became a pillar of salt. We must keep looking forward and not look back. If we look forward, we'll be chariots of fire. We'll be on fire for the Lord. We, ourselves, our family, will be able to say, I honor God and he honored me. So my friends, my short message is that not to look back, not to go back to those things that's in the past. That's yesterday's message. Let's look forward to God. Let us be positive. Let us continue to lift each other up and lift God's words up. We all have our difficulties. We all have our little problems. But we must all come together as a unit and lift each other up. Do not start criticizing and pulling each other down. Let us lift each other up. Do not look back. Let's look forward. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It was Ephesians 4:23, I think you were looking for.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Well, you can read it.
No, it's you finished now. It's all right.
Would you please pray to finish for us, Brother Basil?
Okay.
Thank you.
Father, again, we thank you that you have been with us in this short moment where we can look through your messages, look through and see what's there for us to learn, what we can learn, where we can find ourselves in the scriptures, where we can identify ourselves in the scriptures, and where we should be going. And so, Father, Lord, I ask that you would be with us day by day as we continue to read your words, Lord. Dear Father, may we have clearer messages in it, Lord, that we can understand. Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would help us to look around of where we are, our neighborhood, and see where our lives could be effective, where we can help, what we can do. Help us to live the life that you want us to live, a positive life, honoring you in everything that we do. We pause again, Lord, to ask that you remember the young amongst our church members, those who are going through difficult times. Also remember those who are aging, Lord, that you will be with them. Those who recovering from hospital's operation. Those who may be going into hospital, Lord, I ask that you'll be with them. May they have the your blessing upon them, guide and protect them in these difficult times. And so, Lord, we ask that you'll help us, that we'll continue to grow in your word, that we'll continue to be beacons for you and ambassadors for you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.